It's not exactly clear. The tradition of the church throughout the centuries of the sacred Triduum. But it is known that the 3 days of the Last Supper, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Jesus have been celebrated since the days of the apostles. For whatever reason, these traditions were confused over the centuries. Many think it is because of the rules for fasting that developed in the Middle Ages. You used to have to fast from midnight all the way until communion, which would mean that then all of the liturgies would take place early in the morning. And so the structure of the Triduum, with its vigil mass, especially the vigil of Easter, was confused. I remember when I was a child, you would go to the first Easter Mass was in the morning on Saturday, and you could start eating candy by noon. Because if the vigil Mass is over, then you can start eating candy, and Easter is here. But for whatever reason, the ritual of the church in these three holy days was restored to us in 1969. And as I was looking through these, I was reflecting on these. How does tonight fit so deeply into these mysteries? Because if you notice, the liturgy this evening doesn't have a beginning and it won't have an end. It's a continuation from what began last night, and it will be continued tomorrow evening as we gather with the fire outside. One continuous liturgy throughout the 3 days. As a student of liturgy, when I was in the seminary, there was a fellow named Baumstark. And we learned Baumstark's law. And Baumstark's law says that if you find something that happens that is rare in the practice of the church, chances are it's one of the most ancient practices. So I started going through the list of all the one-time things that happen during the Triduum of the Lord. The washing of the feet ritual at Mass last night, the procession of the Blessed Sacrament to the altar of repose and adoration until midnight, the prostration, which began this liturgy this evening, a symbol of dying, right? The dying of Jesus as I was prostrate on the floor of the church. Following the reading of the Passion, we have the veneration of the cross, something that never happens at any other time throughout the church year. You may have noticed when you came into church tonight, the church is empty, the tabernacle is open. It is the one day during the year you do not find the Eucharist within the church because our Lord has died. No sacraments are celebrated. We do have a communion service, but it's only hosts that were consecrated last night at the Mass of the Lord's Supper. And then we will disperse and we will gather again around a fire tomorrow evening for what is the primordial vigil of the church, when the church would gather at sundown and would read the story of salvation from the scriptures all night long. They would come to the Gloria at dawn. So when people complain about a 3-hour liturgy, it's good to remember our roots. I spoke last night and on last Sunday, Palm Sunday, about how we are able to find the meaning of all life's experiences in these days. And even if our experiences are not all positive, but include things like rejection, betrayal, pain, even death, we can be certain that the Lord is waiting there in that moment, because he's been there before. Even in death, the Lord waits for us because he is there right now. Consider how little we have actually figured out about life, right? And then think about how much more that we have not figured out about death. We know that the Lord died for us today. We know that we deserve to be on that cross, but he took our place. He died for us and for our salvation. We reflect on his own words from the Gospel of John, also the Gospel we heard, the Passion tonight, and also the Gospel from last night. In the 15th chapter, where the Lord says, "There is no greater love than to lay down your life for a friend." He said that right around the time of the Last Supper. He has proven his friendship for us. He has given us the courage to follow him. St. Paul to the Romans says that for Christ, while we were still helpless, yet died at the appointed time for the ungodly. St. Paul then explains, indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, when we exactly didn't deserve it. How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him? Indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, once reconciled, we will be saved by his life? And then the haunting words that Jesus tells his apostles after he washes their feet last night, the lowest of the servants of the household, "As I have done for you, so you must also do." Suddenly, the purpose of the sacred Triduum comes into full focus. The Triduum exists because it was the period of time in which the Church prepares for the Easter sacraments, for baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. And we know from St. Paul that this baptism is a baptism into the death of the Lord Jesus. He literally turns our understanding of life and death upside down. We die in baptism, and then we have our life on this earth so that we might rise and live with him forever in the life to come. We're starting to realize more about death than we knew before. That this mystery of death is something that is tied to baptism. At the time of the apostles, water was not only a symbol of cleansing, it was also a symbol of death, because people at that time did not know how to swim. It was a sign of drowning. And people would enter into the waters of baptism as if a person forced under the water three times, gasping for breath. And then the fathers of the church would say that they would come out of that water as if from a womb, the new waters of new life, the womb of the church. Is it possible for us to say that Jesus dies on the cross in the same spirit that he washes the feet of his apostles, and from the cross he might have had as one of his last words, maybe the eighth last word that was not ever recorded, reminding us, "As I have done, so you must also do." And in proving to us as a friend, or even as an enemy who dies for our sake when we do not deserve it, as St. Paul says, that he dies in friendship to give us the courage to willingly die to ourselves, to enter into the waters of baptism, and to be brought to new life. "Where I have gone before you, you must come." The mystery of life and death is in the waters of baptism as much as it is in the cross of Jesus Christ and the empty tomb. They cannot be separated. We find ourselves this evening overwhelmed with the love of God to realize that there is no greater love than what we witness this evening and what awaits us at the dawn of the next day.